Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm Bill.
That's right, it's Bill.
Hey.
MC's not here. I'm scared.
No, but the rule is as long as you record with someone who's not on the same continent as you.
Right, exactly. That's the requirement for the best animated shows ever so far, a podcast where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually.
So we're looking for potential guest hosts from Antarctica.
Yeah, Antarctica's up in the air. Asia, if we could get somebody in Japan, I think that'd be really cool.
Australia counts as Asia?
No,
oh no, continent-wise, it's its own continent. Yeah, it's just it's kind of that pan-Asia area. Sorry,
I mean it's its own continent and also like a very like different type of culture. Africa, that would be super cool. I love like I have not heard an African accent that wasn't amazing. Like every single one.
I've never met a Ghanaian who's not like the happiest person on earth. I absolutely love Ghanaians.
We genuinely don't know where MC is. He was supposed to be recording with us this morning and he's not here.
We think he may have been eaten.
He's either been eaten or he's asleep, one of the two. But we'll just talk about this show anyway. Now Bill, you were kind of on last episode in that
I was
in that your recording survived and MC's didn't, and we had to re-record it, and then I used bits from your podcast or your recording. My question for you before we get into episode 3 is, what do the good people need to know about you, sir?
I am Bill. I'm, you know, a man in my middle ages. Uh-huh. Reliving my youth through podcasts. My brain's a bit slushy today. My name is Bill. I actually have a podcast with Troy called The Bestiary. Mm-hmm. Bestiary,
whichever you prefer.
Yeah, we debate the pronunciation because we know it's wrong.
The title is up to listener discretion.
It definitely is. And then I also have a whole slew of podcasts. I've got too many to count, so I'll just tell you the main two. So I have the Tarviran podcast, which is a Wheel of Time reread podcast with my friends Rob and Rich, where we're going through the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan. And I have RPG Golden Years, which is a huge RPG podcast where we're going through about 500 console RPGs and JRPGs from the what we consider to be the golden era of RPGs. And the golden era is basically, you know, between the ages of when you were 5 and 20.
And to be clear, you're not just like talking about those games, you're actually playing them.
Oh yeah, no, we have to beat it before we're allowed to review it.
Oh my, it's insane. It's an insane project.
I know, because quite often your opinions can change on a game when you get to the end of it. Like, if we hadn't, like, we would have been so positive about a game called Final Lap Twin, because it was just, it was a bonkers game that was kind of like, once you got the hang of it, it was really enjoyable, and it wasn't, like, too difficult. And, like, it took me, like, less than 10 hours to get to the end boss, and then it took me more than 10 hours to beat the end boss. And so Alan, as he's called, just Alan, is now considered by our podcast to be the most difficult RPG boss ever. And I've got lots of like images of him burning in flames and stuff. And we often use his name as a profanity on the show. But Alan's a bastard.
I do believe that was actually the first episode of RPG Golden Years that I listened to. And I was like, this is amazing. And what are these poor fools doing to themselves?
It's one of our earliest episodes as well. And it's also one of my favorites. I love the ones where we just come up against something, which is like a brick wall. And it's just like, oh my God.
Which happens
this
so
is so
often.
Painful. Like Double Dungeons. RPGs. Double Dungeons was such a fun, easy game, but it was so long.
It's like such a slog. It's just mapping. Maybe that's just because I've seen Desa's take on the maps. But anyway.
God, yeah, Desa maps it, and it's all like, I can't imagine doing that. That just takes so long. Yeah.
You are also, of course, the co-host of The Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast, which is where all of your expertise comes from. But you are not actually an Attack on Titan expert, yes?
I am not an Attack on Titan expert. My co-host is more of an expert than I am. So Tyler, who I do that show with, he is actually watched all the TV show and read all the manga, whereas I believed I had watched series one and two, but then I started watching series two and I realized I haven't seen any of this.
All right.
So, so I don't know where I fell off on that one.
Series one of the show, and then now you've been reading the manga for the coordinates. So now you're a little.
I have. So I'm slowly becoming an expert. I'm kind of like the little, you know, I'm the unknown and element to the podcast.
Cool. So still no sign of MC. So I guess we'll get into talking about episode three here.
Yeah.
All right. So episode three is called A Dim Light Amid Despair. Humanity's Comeback Part 1, and we'll talk about it right after these messages.
Hello, my name's Bill. I'm here in the UK doing UK things, not being eaten by giant people.
And I'm Tyler, in the US, also not being eaten by giant people. And we host The Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast, where we...
Hold on a second, Tyler. Hold on. There's some weird noises going on outside the door. Let me just go check it out quickly. It's Twitter Troy Titan. My leg. He's eating my leg.
Bill?
No. He's gone. He's eating my bloody leg, Tyler. Troy's eating my leg.
Anyways... we're a monthly podcast where we read an arc of the manga a month, try to get Bill caught up. Bill, you want to tell them where they can find us?
What do you want?
Where can people listen to the podcast?
I don't have a clue. Oh, he's going to eat me! He's going to eat me! Why are there so many cats in here? God, I hope
you can I get a new co-host?
And we're back.
We are back. A Dim Light Amid Humanity's Despair. Humanity's Comeback Part 1. That's such a long title.
Humanity Rises Again Part 1.
Is that the Japanese version?
No, I don't know. That's what it says on my Netflix.
Netflix is the dub version exclusively. So it probably has the Japanese translated titles as opposed to... I don't know, man. Anime titles are such a pain. I just don't understand them ever. They're always complicated. But this episode premiered on April 21st, 2013 in Japan, May 17th, 2014 in English. And it starts off with... We don't do crazy time jumps in this episode, which is nice. We start off with the kids in military training, and we end with the kids in military training.
Yeah, this is quite strange, because this is basically the... entire manga bit I just done on the coordinate.
Oh, really?
So this kind of coincides nicely with what I did, with what I've just been reading about. Oh, but nice. But yeah, you know, we start off, we have the opening credits, which love the opening credits. The music is so good. This is what I spoke about at MC on last time. Just like, one of the things that makes an amazing anime show is sometimes just the opening credits, because even if you get a bad episode, when you hear those credits when the next episode starts, you're like, oh yeah, this is putting me in.
I'm back into it.
Buzz and the bees and the swans and the eagles, and it's just like, oh yes, come on, kill some stuff. You know, there are some shows that do that very well, like Neon Genesis Evangelion. Like, you know, when you hear that music and it gets that bit in the middle where it goes dun, 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 and it's just like, yeah, I've got to watch this. The Dragon Ball shows as well, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, amazing opening themes. I just absolutely love it.
I think Attack on Titan's up there. It's a really good one.
It is, and
it's not just pumping like music, but the visuals of it are super good too. So
yeah, I got really disappointed because it's halfway through the first season that they suddenly change.
Oh no!
And it becomes a little bit more J-poppy.
I mean, not that that's bad, but it's just I like what it is so much.
Aww. Yeah, I know. I remember Dragon Ball Z did that as well, like about I think it was after the Freezer series or after the Trunks saga, the music just suddenly changed. It was like, oh, I hate this new music. Just stick to the original stuff.
It was so good.
But we start this episode with one of my favorite characters.
Keith Shadows?
Keith Shadows. His eyes are shadows. Now, do you remember who this guy was from the first episode?
Only because Tyler pointed it out when we recorded that episode, that this was the guy who was commanding the team that went out to attack the Titan in the forest and then came back and was like, they all died for nothing.
Yep, this is the guy who starts slapping the woman with her son's dead hand. It's like, did my son survive? It's just like, here's his hand. Slap. You've been tangoed. And it's just like... It's just like the worst way to tell someone that their offspring is dead. It's just like, but you can tell he's haunted by the experience, and that's why he's now become like a Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, he's the drill sergeant for these new recruits. He's going around like asking where people are from, and no matter what anybody says about anything, Keith just like yells at them a lot. And then I'm so confused because then there's just one girl who's eating a potato while she's standing in rank, and Keith's like, what are you doing? And she's like, eating a potato. And he's like, but why? And she's like, are you asking me why people eat potatoes, sir? I'm so confused by Potato Girl.
Why are you confused by Potato Girl? Sasha is one of my favorite characters in Attack on Titan. She's hilarious.
Why is she standing here eating a potato while she's in line? Listen,
I know, but Keith is a jerk. Is. Yes.
But he's right about this one. Like,
what the hell are you doing? Why are you eating a potato?
She has a line where she said,
it was sitting there begging to be eaten. So like, I gave it shelter in my stomach.
I gave it shelter in my stomach.
She is brilliant. All she cares about is eating, and it's just I just love her. She's the comic element, you know. This is what makes this an anime. It's just have those comedy characters.
You know what? That's a good observation, but it's also why she bothered me at the start of this episode, because like the first two episodes of the show have been like some real serious stuff, and then episode three kicks off with, you know, Keith Shadows being a drill sergeant, real serious stuff. And then all of a sudden there's this girl who's just eating a potato, and it's like, did I switch channels? Like, is this really the same show?
Well, yeah, the manga is pretty much the same. It's just like you get the fall of Chicken Shima. Mm-hmm. Or Chicken Shima. So that's a coordinate joke. I always call it Chicken Shima.
Chicken Shawarma.
Yeah, it makes me want to sing a song by a band who I can never remember the name of. About Yoshimi, they don't believe me.
Oh man, that is Yoshimi versus the Giant Robots by the Flaming Lips.
That's it, the Flaming Lips. I can never remember their name when it pops into my head. But yeah,
they're good.
That's what I always remember them.
I've seen them twice. My first concert was seeing the Flaming Lips and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was fantastic.
Oh wow. That's awesome, man. I love Chili Peppers as well.
Yeah. My brother did me good taking me to that as my first show.
Sadly, mine was a band called Feeder.
I don't know that one.
No. I suspect I have to be in your 30s and from the UK to know who they are. But yeah, it's just it just makes me think of that. It's just like, you won't let those titans eat me. I'm Chicken Shima.
Oh, man. Don't but yes, give me project ideas, Bill.
Too late. But yeah, but beyond Sasha, because I just love the whole thing with this. I love the bit before he gets to Sasha, where there's the guy who's like, I want to live in the interior. And he goes, oh, you want to be part of the military police, do you? And he just headbutts him.
Yeah. Everybody's either like too soft or too hard. And like, it's a freaking Goldilocks thing where he hasn't found the recruit who's just right. He's got a problem with everybody.
I just love it though, because he headbutts him and the kid falls to the floor. Because yeah, I think they're all supposed to be like 15, 16 is like the time you can sign up to be in the army. Because in the manga, they mention about the fact they lowered the conscription age at one point from when you can join.
Since humanity is like being destroyed.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like, yeah, we'll take them as young as we can get them. And yeah, it's just funny.
We did send 200,000 people to their death, so.
Oh yeah, 20% of the population. But yeah, he headbutts him. The guy hits the floor and he goes, did I tell you to sit down, maggot? And then you've got the little bald cue ball kid as well, who he just picks up.
He just picks him up by his skull. That looks so painful. Starts
squeezing it just because he does the salute the wrong way around because his heart's on the wrong side of his body. And that's
I did not
Sasha
catch that that's what happened there. I kind of saying is your heart on your right side, but okay.
You're supposed to do the salute like that over your heart, but he does that. Sorry, people can't see me switching left and right.
I can see you.
You can see me. But yeah, that's why he picks him up off his feet, and then Sasha obviously distracts him, and then he makes Sasha run until she's till she can't run anymore.
Yeah, she has to run till the sun sets. At least that's what the dub version said was her punishment. But also that she lost meal privileges for like 4 days or something. Which I'm like, that's just gonna make her starve. That's not good for anybody.
She was far more upset about the meal privileges being taken away, because Potato Girl just loves to eat.
So then we go to the barracks and people are eating. And I don't even remember why, but Aaron gets in a fight with somebody almost. But then the dude is like, hey, I'm sorry, let's not fight. And Aaron's like, oh, I really want to fight.
Yeah, the bell goes off to say that they're being summoned to do something else. And that's when they're like, okay. They both just sort of like half apologize to each other.
Right.
And then the guy has got a real sweet spot for Mikasa.
Yeah, he sees her walking by and he's like, oh, you're real pretty. Your hair's real pretty. I like it.
You've got real pretty hair. She's like, thanks.
Yeah.
And then Aaron just immediately says, you need to cut your hair.
You know, I wondered about that because, yeah, he's like, what he tells her is, we're going to start training with ODM gear and you really need to cut your hair before that because it's going to get in the way. But considering it came right after the scene where the guy was all creeping on her hair, it seems like Aaron is being like jealous, not boyfriend about it. But did he hear that exchange? I don't know. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure how much there was jealousy as a part of that.
I don't think he heard the exchange. I think he's just like literally just, yeah. Mikasa, your hair's in the mess. Your hair's a mess. Sort it out.
Huh. And then the creepy dude is standing on the porch watching Mikasa and Aaron, and Bald Kid walks by, and creepy dude like rubs his hand on the back of Bald Kid's shirt.
Yeah. And this is different. So he says something different in the manga, in the dubs, and in the subs.
Okay.
Because in the dubs version, he goes, like, this is my trust.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sure in the manga, he does it and he goes, this is my faith in humanity. It's just what? Like the one guy he's kind of fallen out with and chosen to have a little bit of a beef with in the army turns out to be like best friends with the girl he really fancies.
But why is he rubbing the other dude's shirt? I don't know.
It's such a strange weird thing. I assume it's some sort of like a Japanese cultural thing.
Weird.
But yeah, but the little Q-tip guy is like really like freaked out about it. He's like, what did you rub on my shirt?
Yeah, that's what I would do too if somebody like touched me like that. Like, hey, don't touch me.
Dude, what the f*** did you do? Sorry.
Giving me work, making me bleep stuff.
I'm sure, yeah, I've said the B word in the F word so far.
Oh, geez. So then Potato Girl finishes her run. And there's a little blonde girl who's got some water and bread. And Potato Girl smells the bread and turns into a horrific demon and goes flying like 80 feet to tackle the girl and steal the bread. And here's the problem. Here's the problem with this. You watch more anime than I do. And so I think you, like MC, would probably be like, oh yeah, it's just like anime thing to show she was excited. But in this crazy world, I was like, Potato Girl's a demon? What? But she's not, right? So that was just an anime thing?
Yeah, it's just an anime trope.
You can't just randomly have characters turn into demons and then be like, oh, just kidding.
It's just, well, that's all it is. She just like, it's that moment of hunger. She smells the bread. She dives at it. So they look at her as if she's like demonically hungry. Just trying to get that sort of point across. Whereas, yeah, it's just, yeah, you know, I just love Sasha. I just think she's fantastic.
My favorite Sasha moment is actually in the next scene, because the next scene is the introductory ODM training. ODM is their Spider-Man gear, and the introductory training is they've got these big tripods that they just hang from. And the people who can do it well, it starts with showing Mikasa, and she's just chilling, standing like straight up, just totally calm, totally relaxed, with short hair. But then Sasha, the camera like pans across all the recruits, and Sasha's one of them, and she's like, she looks like she's on a swing set. And she just makes me so happy because she's like, she looks totally oblivious to what they're actually doing. She's perfectly balanced and everything, but rather than the like almost like soldier type pose that Mikasa's doing, Sasha looks like she's just having fun.
She is, but then I would be.
Yeah, I mean, okay. that stuff looks fun.
I'm so gonna become Spider-Man.
Right? And then it shows Aaron and he's like upside down with his face in the dirt because he's bad at it.
Yeah, he's terrible at it. And so he becomes one of the, he becomes really washed out at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's totally gonna go be a farmer. That's what's gonna happen to him.
He tries to practice some more and ends up bashing his head against the floor.
Yep.
Which is an important thing to know. He bashes his head against the floor.
Oh.
Oh, spoilers.
So Armin and Mikasa are helping him train, but then after he bashes his head into the floor, he's at dinner and there's a conversation with Mikasa about how if he goes to be a farmer, she's going to go with him and stuff. And he's like, that's not going to happen. And ultimately,
I'm going to do this. I'm going to become a Jedi. I mean,
he gets a couple other people to help train him. And there's like this really touching scene where it's like, oh, we're all coming together to support each other because we all know how terrible the Titans are and we all want to kill them together. So we're going to do this. New best friends, high fives. And then they all go take him up to a mountainside to train more.
Yes, because the other two guys are south of Wall Mario? but yeah, whichever, they were between the two wall, whichever wall was breached. So the Titan, the Colossus Titan smashed a hole through Shiganshima, mm-hmm. and then the Armored Titan then smashed through the gate of Wall Maria, I think it was. So then anyone between Wall Maria and the next wall, you know, would eventually have been eaten by Titans. And so those two guys were from a small village which didn't get any warning that the Titans right. were coming. So they just sort of like heard some loud noises, open up the window, and they're big ass scary Titan sitting outside yeah. the window.
The way they described it made it sound like they probably could have escaped within, like their whole town probably could have evacuated into the interior if they had the warning. But since they didn't, most of their town was destroyed.
Yeah, it was too late. So the two guys, they feel Eren's pain, and mm-hmm. kind of, because they both want to join the military. These are the two guys who want to join the military police. I think it's Marco and Thomas. So they were the first two people Shardaes was shouting at the beginning thing. and yeah, it's just a nice sort of little touching thing come together where they're just like, do you know what, Eren? Well, I'm scared. I've seen the Titans and I'm terrified. But you want to kill them all. Mm-hmm. You're a psychopath. So I'm just going to help you out.
I want you on my side, not against me. So
yeah. If you want to go out and kill a million Titans, I'm going to help you.
So then we see that Eren gets another shot at showing Keith Shadows how good he is on the ODM gear. And look at him. He gets winched up into the air and he's bouncing.
He's bouncing. Holding himself.
Yeah. And then he falls again.
He loses balance and he smashes his head against the floor again.
He was balanced pretty well at first, but then he loses his balance and smashes his face. And everyone's like, oh, I guess he didn't have it. Like, it looked like he did, but he didn't. And then Keith Shadows is like, hey.
Yeah, he shouts at Thomas behind him, doesn't he? And says, you, swap your belts with Eren.
Yeah.
And then Eren swaps his belt.
Perfectly.
Yeah, Aaron's able to do it. And Keith standing there holding Aaron's belt saying, you've got a faulty buckle.
Yeah.
You piece of crap. He's just like, and then he explains, like, this whole thing is designed that if you lose your balance, you don't hit your head on the floor. You're supposed yeah. to spin around. Right. And it's just like, oh. And he says, so the fact that you actually hit your head on the floor means I realized your equipment was faulty.
Yeah.
And then, so, then he gets a little internal monologue, doesn't he? Like, how is he able to hold himself up with 40 gear?
Right, because, yeah, even when his buckle was broken, he did it for a little bit. He didn't stay up the whole time, but he did it for a little bit. So everyone's mighty impressed by that.
Da-da-da, mighty Eren. And Aaron's like, I love that he's looking into the crowd. And everyone's going, look, he thinks he can do it. And everyone's got a different opinion on what the look is.
Yeah, they're like, hey, look, he's so excited that he gets to slaughter Titans. No, he's excited that he's going to make his dad proud. No, he's excited that he doesn't have to leave me. Which was a weird line from Mikasa.
Yeah.
Especially because Mikasa's whole thing is like, I'm going to follow you, Eren. But apparently the subtext of that was, except I'm not really.
Well, no, she is, though. Her entire deal is that she wants to follow and protect Eren's life, mm-hmm. Eren's life, no matter the cost. Because I think we had the scene in the last one where Eren psychopathically killed the two the men who were kidnapping her, which was great.
Yeah, I have so many suspicions about this show, and here's the problem. I want to know what's happening with this show real bad, so bad that I'm struggling with the idea of watching more of it because I just want to go read like a Wikipedia article to find out what happens.
But nobody knows what happens yet.
Well, they know a heck of a lot more than I do right now.
And yeah, I know.
I guess
I'm there as well.
The issue with it is that it's not like I'm not enjoying the show and the manga, because I've been reading the manga as well. It's not that I'm not enjoying it, but like knowing that it takes so long for some of this to get explained, and knowing that like it would take me 2 seconds to open Wikipedia and just read the answer makes it so tough for me.
The curse of modern society. I know. You know, we can't just watch one show and then wait a week for the next one. We have to binge watch it. I remember the first I've only seen the first season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I had to wait each week for it to come out to see what happened next with Sean Bean's life. And yeah, I got to the end of season one and was sorely disappointed.
I think I started halfway through season two. The show was like halfway through season two, so I binge watched season one and then caught up. Yeah, if you were watching that show for Sean Bean, hey, spoilers for Game of Thrones. Don't watch it for Sean Bean.
I know. But as well, I watched it when it first came out. I was just like, big Sean Bean fan. Like, oh no, Sean Bean's now left the show for some reason.
Who knows why?
Where's it gone? I've never watched a Game of Thrones episode since, and I never will. But yeah, it's an I think Attack on Titan is great. The anime show is very, very enjoyable. I love it's kind of got that anime thing where you will get like 4 or 5 episodes of just pure intense Titan bashing action, and then you get episodes like this where it's a lot of like, you know, subtext,
right? A lot of subtext, a lot of quieter character stuff.
And there's a lot of foreshadowing as well. Like, so many people talk about like things that are in like the first couple of mangas, which are only just being explained in the manga.
That's nuts.
And I think Tyler said as well, there's only like a year or so left of the manga episodes coming out each month.
Right.
So eventually this will come to an end. But it's a difficult one to suggest which is better, the manga or the show. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying the manga at the moment, but I know the creator, Akira. No. I can't remember his name. The bloke who created the show.
The bloke who created Attack on Titan is Hajime Isayama.
Hajime, that's it. Hajime Itaba.
Hajime? H-A-J-I-M-E.
Hajime. Hajime. Hajime Itabata.
Yeah, it fits into the song. Dang it, Bill.
No. Hajime Itabata is a guy who makes some of the Final Fantasy games.
Ah, I see.
And yeah, there's a parody on YouTube of Hajime Itabata. Means no worries for the release of this game. And anyway, moving on from that. I would suggest the manga. I think the manga is a bit more enjoyable to read, even though Hajime has used the TV show to correct issues in the manga, such as a lot of the time jumping. There's a lot less time jumping in the TV show. But yeah, I think they're both thoroughly enjoyable, and I would definitely give them both a watch and a read.
Well, with that in mind, I think what we're going to do is I'm going to record our voicemail section with MC later and our ranking of the show later. But Bill, as a special guest, we'll let you do your own ranking here. Where would you rank Attack on Titan if you were to rank it against all other animated shows ever?
Wow, have you, I wasn't prepared for this. Can you share a copy of the list that you've got currently?
Yeah, let me, there's probably...
It's definitely going below The Legend of Zelda, because that's great.
It's not! If it's going below Legend of Zelda, it's at the bottom of the list, because Legend of Zelda is hot garbage.
It's amazing. Link's so rapey.
He's very rapey. That's honestly the thing that surprised me most about Zelda. I knew it was going to be bad, but I didn't expect it to be rapey. Are you?
But yeah, if you can share your screen.
Well, I was just gonna drop it in Discord if that works.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can drop it in Discord. I just thought it might be easier to share your screen.
It probably would have been, but I didn't think of that. So the list currently is Batman, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, Gargoyles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Castlevania, Pokemon, Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, Mob Psycho, Miraculous, Dungeons and Dragons, SpongeBob, Biker Mice from Mars, and Legend of Zelda.
Okay, difficult one. I'm gonna say, is it better than? I'm surprised you put Pokemon below Castlevania.
That was a tough one.
But I would say this is. Oh, is it better than Castlevania? They're both very close. Castlevania is a lot more dark, but it's based off Castlevania 3, the video game, which which is one of the few Castlevanias I've played. and I haven't seen season two of Castlevania either. I would put it in Castlevania's spot. I'd put it just above Castlevania. They're very close together, though, in my opinion.
Okay. So on Bill's ranking, it's going to take the number six spot. We will see where it ranks for MC and I in just a minute for you listeners. but in the meantime, Bill, any last thoughts to share before I kick you off the show?
No, but do I get to roll for another show?
Oh, right.
I was really hoping that I'd get to throw in my...
So what we're gonna do, I've got a potential guest lined up who has two shows they want to do, so I'm gonna submit both of those shows. MC is gonna submit one show, and then Bill's gonna submit one show. So you can let me know what show you want to submit, and we'll put it on the list when we get to the roll.
Oh, I wanted to hear the roll.
No, sorry.
I wanted to roll a d4 on Discord.
MC does the roll. We can't take that away.
Okay. Right, hopefully MC will roll this thing. I'm going to nominate The Max.
What is it?
The Max.
The Max, like M-A-X?
It might even be two X's, if I can remember. I've got a feeling this is going to be somewhere along the lines of when Tyler did that Wonder Chosen program.
Okay.
Where he remembered it being really good as a kid, and then it turned out to be awful when he rewatched it.
The Max. Oh, this looks familiar.
Yeah, the Max. So it was an MTV show back in 1995, and it's M-A-X-X.
Based on a comic book by Sam Keith. It's a weird purple blobby superhero guy. Okay.
I won't give spoilers. It's very
definitely
dark.
Recognize this art.
It's very dark, very strange, and doesn't make any sense.
MTV in 1995, this would have definitely been something my brother watched that I like wasn't supposed to be watching with him, but watched with him. So I am excited. This looks cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't think it is. I expect it's now very bad and very dated.
Excellent. That's perfect. Well, we will put The Max on the list, and we'll get to the rolling of the shows here again in just a minute for you listeners. But until then, Bill, thank you so much for being a guest with me today.
No worries. It was great to be on. There's only 13 episodes of The Max, by the way.
And they're short episodes, too. Let me just watch the whole thing.
I think so. 11 to 13 minutes each.
It says, the Wikipedia entry says, the animation frequently changes styles. In one scene, characters may be rendered in detail, but in the next, they may be simplified cartoons. Yep. Weird. I'm so intrigued.
It's like Beavis and Butthead style type stuff.
I kind of
without that type of comedy.
Weird.
All right. I'll put it on VHS.
I may need you to send me your tapes. Until next time, Bill, we'll see you later. Listeners, let's go to our voicemails.
MC, it's time for the messages. Not the commercial ones, the ones from the people. But there aren't any messages from the people. But also, welcome back, MC. You missed all of episode 3. MC,
yeah.
Tell us what happened.
I fell asleep. with the changeover to daylight savings for me and the change for you, I've kind of been getting... It's been getting later in the night. And mm-hmm. What happened was I was getting ready. I had everything set up. And I was watching stuff on my TV, and I turned my TV off, and I was sitting on my bed with my phone out, waiting for 11:30 to rock around so we could record. And the next thing I knew, it was a quarter to two in the morning, and my phone was... beside me, and I had some messages from Troy being like, hey, where are you? And then it was like, oh, I fell asleep, I'm sorry.
So Bill and I had a good talk about Attack on Titan 3. You'll hear it, MC, whenever I finish editing that episode. But in the meantime, do you have any final thoughts on Attack on Titan 3 before we... I have one Reddit comment I want to talk about, and then we'll move into ranking and stuff. But anything on Attack on Titan 3? It's the training episode.
I mean, the fact that his belt was messed up the whole time, and he's still... and because he worked with that one and his core's like super strong now, that was kind of cool. Like it was like a reason why he might actually be pretty decent at things, because he's just determined.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it, that like he actually trained extra because the thing was messed up. It's like Goku wearing the weighted robes. I keep telling my wife that. My wife is now like in her 8th month of pregnancy, and doing stuff is getting hard, and I told her, I was like, you've never watched Dragon Ball Z, but let me tell you about a lad named Goku. he wears really heavy clothes, and like he can still do stuff, but man, when he drops those clothes off, suddenly it's like he's so much stronger. And that's gonna be like you when the baby comes out, like everything's gonna be so easy all of a sudden.
That's not true at all.
No, but it made her relax a bit about it, so that's good. She's
mostly probably going to be tired, because mostly there's going to be...
all the time, because there's going to be a baby.
Yeah.
It's going to take up so much time and energy, but it's going to be amazing. I'm going to have a little baby I can show cartoons to. Maybe we'll do a baby segment where I tell you what the kid thinks about the shows we watch, and what he thinks will be like, bah! Because there'll be a baby, and he won't speak yet.
Well... I sent you a gift.
I know, it hasn't arrived yet.
No,
I was hoping
it should be coming this next week.
I thought it was
before the 11th.
Okay, I was gonna say I thought it was coming today.
Well, it might be between now and the 11th. I think it is.
So exciting. In any case, this is not Baby Cast, MC.
No,
this is Attack on Titan Cast. We have one comment that I want to read. From Reddit, because I asked for feedback. Nobody sent us feedback. But one person replied in something that I thought was kind of fun. First response I got on Reddit says, this is from Psychopathetic on Reddit, says, honestly, it's not a show you can judge on the first few episodes or even the first season. The show changes dramatically over its run, both in terms of story structure and quality. Much of the appeal of season one is also the payoff you get in later seasons. So I wouldn't put the show on any list until you watch everything that's out, which... MC and I talked about this, the ranking system of our show. It's ridiculous. We know it is. We know it's ridiculous.
Oh, no. Well, we also have said that we'll probably be going back and visiting shows later. And
I'm just going to keep letting you think that, MC. I'm not going to let you do it.
Here's the thing, Troy. We might not do what we thought before. We thought we'd watch... like the next three episodes. I'm thinking rather than that, we look up the best episodes.
Yeah. I think that could be kind of a fun thing to do at some point.
Yeah. Maybe when we have like 50 or so shows already up.
That'll be so long from now.
Yeah.
That'll be like another 3.5 years or something.
Exactly.
By that point, my kid will actually be able to guest on the show.
Yeah. Well, Troy...
That's what it is, MC. That's how we'll reevaluate the shows, is when my kid's old enough to watch the show, we'll watch an episode with the kid, and he can chime in on the ranking.
Yeah.
Bam. We figured it out.
We look up the best episodes.
Mm-hmm. We'll with my three-year-old, be like, what's the best episode of freaking Castlevania or food porn?
No. We're not going to do Castlevania. We probably won't do Attack on Titan. No, not until he's like a teenager.
We'll
introduce those shows. But don't want to psychologically damage him by introducing him to scary stuff.
Right, exactly. But anyway,
I think that's why you don't like scary stuff, isn't it? You saw too much scary things as a kid?
No, I didn't really see scary stuff as a kid because my parents wouldn't let me, so... Maybe that's the problem, is that I didn't get inoculated against scary stuff as a kid. Get your flu shots and also watch a scary movie when you're a child so that you can watch more scary movies when you're an adult.
My first scary movie. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of Pumpkinhead?
No.
Yeah, it was Pumpkinhead.
Is it just a look it pumpkin up. First? Okay, I will. I was listening to every Marvel movie ever. Friends of the show, Gabe over there, was talking about seeing the Punisher movie with when he was like 12 years old or something like that, and he wrote a review of the Punisher on his blog when he was like 12 years old. And I'm like, Gabe,
the Thomas
that's
Jane
too
one?
Young. Whatever the first one was that came out. What the hell is this, MC? Pumpkinhead is not a man with a pumpkin for a head. He's terrifying.
No. Yeah.
Oh no, MC.
But it's so bad and ridiculous. It's funny.
Oh.
I remember watching that when I was like 9.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much. That's in my head now, MC. That's a thing that's stored in my memory.
It's like some weird plant thing, I guess. It's supposed to be a pumpkin
terrifying.
With like a scarecrow body.
I hate it. Let's go talk about where we rank this show on the big list.
MC, I have a programming question for you regarding the ranking and the big list and whatnot.
Okay.
So historically, when we've gotten to the ranking, I've gone through and read everything that was on the list in order to give the listeners an updated count of the shows. We're up to 15 shows now. So here's my question. Is that too many shows for me to read all at once? Or is it wonderful for you to have me sit here and try and read through 15 shows as quickly as I can?
I think it's a little much, to be honest.
Okay.
Just a little bit. I reckon we do the top 10.
Okay. Okay, let's do that. We'll read the top 10 and the bottom one.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't feel like the show, if it's like near the bottom of the 10, then maybe we read more.
Yeah.
Okay, so here it is, top 10. Drum roll, please. Because I'm not going to put one in later in my editing. That's too much work. Batman, the Animated Series, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, Gargoyles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 1987, Castlevania, Pokemon, Indigo League, Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, and Mob Psycho 100. And then, skipping a few to the bottom of the list, we have The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And MC, Attack on Titan is better than The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, for sure.
It is also, I think, better than Mob Psycho 100. So I think it's in top 10 range.
Yeah, I reckon.
I'll tell you, you don't know this actually because you haven't listened back to it yet, but Bill put it, I let him do his own ranking on our list, and he put it at number 6, which would be right below Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and right above Castlevania.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually, yeah.
We're just going to skip straight to Bill's ranking?
Oh, well, here's the thing. I've got nostalgia really attached to Gargoyles and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And this show definitely has like the gore and like the adult content of a Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this did it a little better.
I think so. I think putting it above Castlevania makes sense. Hey, here's a fun story, MC.
Yeah.
You know how I said I've been recording this whole time?
You haven't been?
I haven't been, but Zoom has been. So I'll just use Zoom up to this point. And then right now, listeners, do you know what's going to happen? Right now, the sound quality is going to get so much better. Ta-da! Now we're in it, MC. Now we're using the good recordings.
Ah.
Oopsie doodle. I think it is better than Castlevania. I have no problem putting it above Castlevania. Here's my issue, MC. I might put it above Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah?
Listen, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is fun and everything, but, like, the intensity that this show brings to it is really good. I like, it's gripping. I am propelled forward in the story. I want to watch more.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even with that first storyline being a 5-part arc, didn't really push me forward. I didn't feel compelled to watch more necessarily.
Fair enough. Yeah, we can put a 5 then. Yeah, that's
all right. So let's do it. Attack on Titan goes in at number 5, below Gargoyles and pushing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles down the list. Oh, it feels a little blasphemous to do this. I thought Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, wow, words. I thought Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was going to be so high, but, you know, it's just maybe it's one of those things that doesn't really hold up.
I mean, depends on how it is later on when we come back to check with the show.
That's true. If we ever do that. Think,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll come back and check on it after we finish ranking all the other shows except for Caillou. Then we'll come back and check on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again. I have to tell you something, MC. You might hear a little bit of background noise right now. I'm telling you and the listeners, because my wife is in the room, which is fine. She's being very, very good at being quiet. But when I said Caillou just now, she looked like she was going to murder me with the receipt that she was holding in her hand, just at the mere mention of that creepy bald-headed boy. All right, MC. Having ranked Attack on Titan, you know what's next?
We got to decide the next show.
It is time for us to decide the next show, and we're going to break format a little bit here because I have another guest who's thinking they might want to join us, and they suggested 2 shows that they'd be willing to join on. So I think what I want to do is I'm going to bring those 2 shows to the table. Bill has brought a show, and then you get to bring 1 show. So we'll still have 4 to roll on. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Cool. In that case, then, I'm going to tell you Bill's. I know he mentioned it in your recording with him, but his is The Max, which is some weird MTV gross superhero thing of some sort. So that's the one that Bill's bringing. That'll be our number 1 role is The Max, spelled with 2 X's. So you know it's serious. And then for our special guest, the 2 shows that we're looking at are either the Spider-Man cartoon from the 90s, or the X-Men cartoon from the 90s.
Both really good shows.
That very, very good shows. You know what I just realized, MC?
What?
That means that all 3 of the shows that are on the list so far are 90s superhero shows. And I'm not saying that that should influence what show you put on the list. It's just something that just occurred to me.
I'm thinking maybe, to mix it up a little bit, we go with Static Shock.
Okay. I have never seen anything of Static Shock. Can I tell you the only thing I know about Static Shock?
Yeah.
At one point when I worked at GameStop, when I was cleaning at the end of the night one night, I found a little Static Shock figurine underneath the edge of the counter. Like a small child had dropped it there while his parents were buying him a brand new video game. Like, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto 3 or Manhunt, because it seems like those are the only video games that small children ever wanted their parents to buy when I worked at. But so then I took that Static Shock figure, and like I couldn't take it home or anything, you know, it's not my property. So I put him on top of my register, figuring that someday the small child would return and reclaim his Static Shock figure. And he never did. As far as I know, that figure still stands on top of that register at GameStop. It probably doesn't, because that was like more than a decade ago. But yeah, that's the only thing I know about Static Shock, is that I used to have a little figure for him that stood on top of a monitor.
Nice.
So,
okay,
MC, we're going to be rolling to decide what we watch next between The Max, Spider-Man, X-Men, and Static Shock. It is your roll, sir.
I do have a dice here.
A real physical dice. I can see it.
And I'm just going to
shaking it,
roll it.
There it goes.
And we got a 3.
It's a 3 X-Men animated series. I am very okay with this.
Same. I quite enjoy it. Oh, I forgot that bit.
Dude, that theme song. is a jam. All right. So I will have to reach out to our potential special guests and see if I can arrange scheduling with them to see if we can get them on episode one, but we'll get them on at some point in our discussion of X-Men, the animated series. It is not called X-Men the... Okay. Sometimes it's called X-Men the animated series. Sometimes it's called just X-Men because people who make TV shows hate me. But we will be back, MC, with episode one, which probably has a title, and that title is, I don't know, probably something about like mutants or oh my gosh, MC, there's an alarm going off. Ignore that. MC, I just looked up the first episode of the X-Men show. Here are the titles of the first three episodes. This is gonna be dope. That's not the title. The titles are Night of the Sentinels Part 1, Night of the Sentinels Part 2, and Enter Magneto.
Nice.
I'm so excited. That's a good list of titles.
That is a good list of titles.
It is. I wonder if this is going to be on Disney Plus. It might be.
Didn't they say
Fox show, but Disney bought Fox.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Uh-huh. So, well, they've announced that they are going to put Gargoyles on Disney Plus now.
Yep. Polygon.com reports on September 12th that Disney Plus will reportedly include 90s X-Men and other Marvel animated series.
Nice.
Can we just become a Disney Plus show? best animated shows on Disney Plus ever so far.
No, it's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, you don't want a title that complicated. Okay, bye. We'll see you at Night of the Sentinels.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All that's BaseSFCast. The emails at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search basesfcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was gonna say but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos anyway. Cast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.